You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 1st of July, 2024. Happy new financial year. The Australian share market fell by 0.2%. We'll have the details with Elio D'Amato from Stockopedia in a few moments. But first to the Australian property market, where prices climbed last financial year despite headwinds ranging from higher interest rates, inflation, cost of living pressures and tighter lending rules. CoreLogic says home values rose 8% in the year to June nationally, reversing a 2% decline in the previous year. The top performing capital was Perth, up 23.6%, and that's because of a severe shortage of homes available for sale. Sydney is still the most expensive capital. While Darwin, Canberra, Melbourne saw small gains, Hobart actually declined on the year, but experts say the general move this financial year will be up. For more, I spoke with CoreLogic's Head of Research, Tim Lawless. Tim, how would you describe the pace of home price growth last financial year, and how does it compare with previous years?
Well, at 8%, I mean, that's a pretty strong outcome, especially given a lot of the headwinds that's occurring across, with interest rates very high, very low levels of consumer sentiment, a relatively tight lending environment, affordability constraints, yet we still saw housing values rise by nearly $60,000 over the year. And it's up quite substantially from a slightly negative result the previous financial year. But when you look at the long run average, even though this is above average for the national annual growth rate of about 5.9%, it's way below what we're seeing through the worst of the pandemic. So through the 2021 financial year, for example, we saw housing values rise nearly 17% at that time. And historically, over the past 30 years, we've seen 9 occasions where financial year growth has been higher than this. So overall, a pretty strong outcome, not the strongest we've seen, but surprisingly strong given some of the headwinds.
Okay, so you mentioned some of those headwinds, higher cost of living pressures, higher interest rates, inflation. So why do you think we're still seeing dwelling values rise?
Well, yeah, good question. This is all about supply and maybe to a lesser extent, demand. So we're still seeing listing numbers across the country that are about 15% below normal for this time of the year. Real estate listings are starting to pick up a little bit now, especially in some of the softer markets like Melbourne and Hobart, where, you know, values have generally been flat to falling over the past year. But mostly this is still a story about supply levels being insufficient relative to demand, which is pushing up prices.
But what about across the country? Is it even? Which capitals are proving resilient, for example, and which aren't?
Well, that's probably the other theme here, is this absolute level of diversity. You know, at one end of the spectrum, we're seeing markets like Perth, where values have risen nearly 24% over the past 12 months. Brisbane and Adelaide also recording well and truly into double-digit annual growth figures. But at the other end of the spectrum, we've seen Hobart housing values have edged a little bit lower. They're down a little bit across regional Victoria over the financial year, generally flat across Melbourne. Even a market like Sydney that has significant affordability constraints has seen growth, but relatively mild compared to those mid-sized capitals at 6.3%. So, yeah, when you drill below the surface and start pulling back the layers, there is a lot of diversity beneath the headlines.
Okay, so when you look into your crystal ball for this new financial year, do you expect this growth to continue? To what extent, I guess, do you think this pace of price growth will continue? And are some capitals or regions more primed for growth than others?
I think it's fair to say values will probably continue to rise, at least over the second half of this year, but I don't think as strong as what we've seen over the first half, or for that matter, for the financial year. Factors that might be getting in the way of further growth, at least of this magnitude, would be things like affordability constraints. We know that overseas migration is easing back now quite rapidly in some markets. Lending conditions remain quite tight. And of course, there's still the uncertainty around what's happening with inflation and the potential for even another rate hike. If not a rate hike, then probably a higher for longer environment for interest rates. So I think against all that, we probably should expect there will be a gradual slowdown in the rate of growth, And to the second part of your question, are there areas that might outperform? Well, I still think it's probably a story of Perth being the strongest performer, at least with the strongest outlook for capital growth. Despite this nearly 25% growth rate over the past year, it's still a relatively affordable market. And that's a legacy of its very weak conditions prior to the pandemic and after the mining boom. But I think markets that are probably set to slow down a bit further would be markets like Sydney, where there's a real affordability challenge in that marketplace and migration is slowing. We still have negative rates of interstate migration. Melbourne looks like it's in for a fairly soft run as well, partly due to the high taxation environment. Hobart also is seeing very elevated levels of stock on the market, which is probably going to be weighing on prices for some time yet.
Tim Lawless there from CoreLogic.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
It was a soft start to the Australian share market for the new financial year, with the ASX 200 down 0.2% to 7,750 points. For more, I spoke with Elio D'Amato, an analyst at Stockopedia. Elio, a soft way to start the new financial year. What can you tell me about the day's moves?
Yeah, well, look, there's not much in corporate news today, but with the exception, of course, of Lendlease following through with its strategy of becoming more domestic focus and the continued fallout from Caledon Resources, where we learnt about its failure over the weekend and how that flows through to other businesses like Macmahon Holdings, for example, and the like, in what is a sector that most thought was immune, which is gold, of course. But you're right, it is a quiet start to the new financial year, so a big happy new financial year to you. Glad we made it. But nonetheless, IT, it was a risk-off trade at the moment. We definitely saw a sell down there in that regard, but it wasn't all doom and gloom. Real estate and materials actually both had positive days.
Okay, so given that it is the start of the new financial year, can we talk what you think will be some of the key themes for the next 12 months? And one of them are playing through right now, elections. We're seeing some impact of elections, particularly in Europe at the moment. How do you think they will drive markets this financial year and why?
That is a really good point because, of course, we started the trading day knowing that Marie Le Pen's populist National Rally Party was poised to win the first round of France's legislative elections, of course, but reports are now starting to show that perhaps it won't be by as large as what or as emphatic as what many people may have been expecting or predicting. England, of course, do vote on Thursday and the US later this year. But these events, in our view, they impact sentiment more than they impact our businesses. Over the long term, we feel they will adapt. Of course, this is not the first time the world has looked at the Eurozone, which, of course, has become home of the famous PIGS acronym. And we have two presidents currently fighting for the coming election in the US. And the market, as well as the nation's debt balance, I should say, are both higher than where they were back then when their tenure started. So in our view, yes, it will impact momentum, but fortunately, our businesses should be immune, provided they're led by the right people, of course.
So is it fair to say then inflation and the direction of interest rates will have more of an impact?
Yeah, that in our view will be the big story, particularly for Australian investors. Now, the stickiness of inflation and what that means for interest rates will really govern our direction. I mean, remember, we get the minutes from the latest RBA board meeting recently, that was recently held. And if Michelle Bullock is to be believed, there was a discussion about possibly raising rates. So investors will very much be on the lookout in regards to what comments were said there. But yeah, it looks like inflation is going to be around here in Australia for a lot longer than first thought.
Do you see any other themes emerging throughout the year?
Yeah, I think the disconnect between the Australian and US market will be keenly spoken about by many commentators. I mean, election talk aside, their market has been driven by the IT sector, more specifically the Magnificent Seven, or you can even call it the Magnificent One, if you want to. Whereas our index is based on commodities, and much of that is based on the China Hope trade, as they look to shore up their seriously ailing property sector. And the banks, of course, who are doing well at the moment, notwithstanding the increased competition that they are experiencing in the home loan market. But then again, one expects that in a sector that is running hot. But if mortgage stress goes up, especially if there are more rate hikes and employment or unemployment starts to creep up, then the difference between our two markets will be exacerbated in our view.
Okay, so finally then, looking into your crystal ball, what do you see the opportunities for investors this year?
Yeah, well, look, we knew this inflation crunch was coming. So basically, we've been saying for a while that you need to be in the price makers, not the price takers. And this is really no better highlighted than by our own small IT sector being the best over the past 12 months. And we continue, of course, to favour a number of names in that space, provided they can generate their own cash, of course, to be comfortable. Look, you know, on this thematic as well, we feel the opportunity lies amongst consumer staples. Now, it's actually the worst performing sector over the past 12 months. Now, of course, the government's eye on that sector, including Endeavour as well, who had some board troubles, which have now we're led to believe have been resolved. That have really weighed down on sentiment, but we all got to eat, right? Therefore, the PR war, once that is finalised, we think there will be opportunities in names like Coles and Woolworths, for example. And then again, everyone questions health. No one questions, sorry, health businesses in a rising inflation environment. Therefore, you can, in our view, seize opportunities when there are price declines in that sector, because at the end of the day, they're actually well positioned to maintain their margins, which are the great profit expander. So if you find, again, a positive cash flow business in that space, latch onto it. We think there'll be good buying there.
Elio D'Amato there from Stockopedia.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.